T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yesterday was Thursday, now it's Friday. Today it is! Now it's less than 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, so that's good. Welcome to Overnight America. Boom! Just like that. Just like that. It's amazing how we can just turn to a next day and things just feel better. Because it's Friday and we're already looking forward to the weekend. If you wanted to sound off on anything we brought up over the week, or maybe you had something you wanted to bring up and you don't know if we covered it, or who knows, maybe we didn't. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We're like a giant witch's brew. We just throw everything together on a Friday. We try to get everything out there that we can. I got a big stack of papers of things I want to get to that have been piling up for the week, so I try to get to as much as I can. And it doesn't have to be on topic, really. We try to keep things flexible on a Friday. 314-436-7900. You could even text that number in, too. There was a story on Fox 2 that they were running tonight. Elementary student in trouble over a cancer awareness hoodie. This is over in Belleville, Illinois. Elementary school student told to cover the words on his shirt, which honors his grandmother's cancer fight. I kind of tend to agree with the school on this one. I do. Okay? I do. And they're upset about it. I don't know. If it was high school, maybe I'd be able to look the other way. This is elementary school. Here, you can judge for yourself. And who do you side with on this one? 314-436-7900.
This sweatshirt with the phrase Hakuna Matata was found to be offensive by Roosevelt Elementary staff in Belleville. 12-year-old Blake Coyle wore his shirt to school to support his grandmother, who has stage 3 cancer.
It means no worries. It's so my mom don't have worries during her process of this and the fight for the breast cancer.
Now keep in mind, when you see that phrase from The Lion King, Hakuna Matata, Matata spelled M-A-T-A-T-A, what they do is they take the breast cancer ribbon and they highlight the words T-A-T-A. Okay, so on the shirt, it's using it as, you know, kids slang for, well, you know. And that's what the shirt's about. It highlights that term.
Took the phrase from Disney's Lion King movie. The Coyles had no idea Blake would be told his shirt was offensive and to cover it up.
They said it wasn't inappropriate for the school.
Roosevelt principal Craig Hayes says that the word tatas on his shirt is slang for breast. They felt it would cause issues with elementary school students.
Okay. And I tend to agree with the school on this one. It may seem like, oh, you're being overly sensitive. Oh, boy, you are. What a terrible, prude person you are that you can't take this joke. No, you know what you're doing by highlighting those words. And then again, you can't really wear slang for, you know, body parts that are... I feel weird even talking about it, but just think of what they're trying to highlight with this sort of thing. To me, it's not like they're not highlighting the support of breast cancer victims. They're using that as a way, and it's just a little too crude for me. It is. I tend to believe at an elementary school, this is a reason to say, maybe this isn't the right audience for this. If it was high school, I may look at that and say, all right, fine. I can look the other way on that. Maybe for the age level, this is not something that you'd allow.
How does Blake feel about everything?
He was a little upset that he couldn't wear it to support his grandmother, that he couldn't wear it to school, because they spend a lot, they're in school 5 days a week until 3:30. So he wants to make everybody aware about his grandmother.
Principal Hayes also says Blake is a really good kid who has done a really nice job at getting the word out about his grandma.
No, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's a great kid. Am I just being too sensitive here? 314-436-7900.
Got a phone call yesterday saying that they support him, but they don't support the shirt.
Christy says if the phrase Hakuna Matata is used in the kids' movie The Lion King, it should be allowed on a shirt in a public elementary school.
What is your goal, Christy?
To make a...
I don't know. You can take any phrase. Let's say you say a word. Let's say there's a perfectly innocent word or phrase, and it just so happens to have a swear word in it, and you highlight those words, make it bigger, and have it on your shirt. See, it doesn't make it okay just because Hakuna Matata is non-controversial, but what makes it okay is the way you're highlighting it. If you could see this, it would maybe illustrate it a little bit better.
Awareness for breast cancer so that we can fight it and make a cure for it.
For now, Christy says Blake will continue to wear his shirt and sweatshirt supporting his grandmother, but still feels Roosevelt Elementary should change their opinion and allow him to wear it in school.
Ooh, I don't know. What do you think? Should they? 314-436-7900 is the number. I'd like to get your thoughts on that one. I got a couple other things I want to get to this hour. Dan Buttafuoco, he is a trial lawyer, and he's got an interesting book out. I like stories like this. He's a trial lawyer that examines the testimony in the Bible. So he looks at that what was said in there and then cross-examines it. It's called Consider the Evidence. You may have seen, they did a documentary about it. It was really good. And also, digital footprints. How much personal information do you talk about your kid online? Some people put a lot of info about their very young children on, things that you know that'll embarrass them in the future. What's going too far? Some doctors sound off on that too. Coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Here we are. Hey, thanks for joining us here. Last show of the week. We get a couple of days off after this. Let's have some fun. Paul, thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. What's going on?
Oh, not much.
Yeah, we're...
Heard you talking about that T-shirt.
Yeah, and it's over in Evansville, Belleville in Illinois, and the elementary school student wearing that shirt with the phrase Hakuna Matata with the phrase T-A-T-A, the Tata highlighted, made larger to, you know, bring up, you know, of course, you know, the women's chest or whatever. But go ahead, Paul. What do you think?
I look at it as, you know, our Constitution says we have the right to free speech. That's not limited to, you know, 18 and under,
eh.
You know, or 18 and older.
Well, certainly if he came in with a bunch of profanities on his shirt, you wouldn't want that in the school. Would you defend that?
The Supreme Court's already ruled as far as, you know, what's considered offensive speech.
Well, no, in an elementary school. So if the kid walked in with a shirt that said F Donald Trump, you'd say, that's cool. Go ahead. You can do that, kid. Good for you.
I wouldn't say that, but, you know, he's trying to support his grandmother and her breast cancer fight.
I know. Yeah, it's I know the kid really cares about his grandmother. You can tell he's doing it all for her. But what I'm just trying to argue there is that there are some things that you just can't have printed on a T-shirt inside of an elementary school, that even though there is a free speech that the kid's allowed to have, but there's still regulation that you can put inside of a school and what could be on a deemed appropriate on a shirt, I think.
Something along the lines of this, though, I would have issues with.
Okay.
You know, something that says F Donald Trump, yeah, I'd have a problem with that, you know, it being allowed. But at the same time, the kid's trying to, you know, support his grandmother and her fight for breast cancer. And if you think about it, I mean, Tata, you said it represents breast. Well, isn't that exactly what that T-shirt's for, fighting breast cancer?
Yeah, it seems like it's just a little too crude for that age level, for elementary school. It'd be like the kid showing up with like a Hooters T-shirt. Would that be inappropriate?
It you're comparing apples to oranges.
Hmm.
Okay. Really and truthfully, there's a crude way of doing it, and a way that is. I'm sorry, but as far as his grandmother, and he's trying to support his grandmother, I think the school's wrong.
Okay.
He walked in with Hooters T-shirts. Yeah, that would be a problem. You know, it wouldn't be appropriate, but we all know what Hooters represents as far as a business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. You know, and there's a big difference between grandma's breast cancer and Hooters and, you know, 20-something-year-old women with scantily dressed clothing.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the meaning behind it is what changes the regulation, I guess, of it. That's what kind of tips it over to the side where you would err with it being allowed?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Paul.
You have a nice night.
You too. Bye. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Yeah, okay, so Greg texted in, I remind you about Huckleberry Finn book. I think literature is a little bit different. Like, if you have in literature and certain things inside of a library, I think it's different than wearing the T-shirt or whatever it may be. I mean, I don't think that they're upset that he's trying to support his grandmother's breast cancer and her treatment. And I don't think anyone's doubting that he really loves his grandmother and wants to find a way to support her in her battle. I think that by wearing that in a way that grabs people's attention, and I think it is a little crude for an elementary school, I guess I don't have a problem with the school saying, maybe you come up with a different phrase. I guess there could be a standard there inside of that school that we don't know about either. What about any other clothing that they've banned from the school to begin with? Are there other pieces of clothing that they've allowed that you'd be able to point to and say, then why is this allowed? It doesn't really say that. You think the mother might bring it up if there was some sort of objection, but we don't know. It sounds like elementary school is just doing what they're supposed to be doing. Sometimes you can bring things up in a way that may be innocent, but still be a little bit too edgy for an elementary school. And that's why you got to be careful about those things. There was a couple other stories. How about this one? Can we knock off showing up to people's houses? So Tucker Carlson is a popular talk show host on Fox News. And just this week, a mob showed up to his house and started doing what mobs do. And it was just trying to terrorize the family. Shows up at his house, banging on the doors, doing all kinds of things. It's just acting out for the sake of just being a terrorist. I mean, not a terrorist, but terrorizing, I should say. And Tucker Carlson just was put in a position any husband would hate to be in. You're away from the house and something terrible happens or threatening happens inside of your own home. His wife runs to the family pantry and locks herself in until police can get out there because she's fearing for her life the way these people are acting outside. And what we've seen is that these sort of things continue to happen. There's other threats that we've seen in public places where people come up and start the shouting matches. But when you take it to someone's doorstep, like Rand Paul, when someone shows up, knocks him to the ground and Rand Paul ends up breaking a couple of ribs, there's a huge line that's crossed there. Like, and even TMZ's showing video of it right now. It's scary and it's sad. On Fox later tonight, or earlier tonight, Tucker Carlson was on his own program, but over the phone, I guess he was on a scheduled vacation. They say that a lot. Anytime something controversial happens and the person's off the air, they say, oh, it was a scheduled vacation. They do that with Hannity all the time. But Tucker Carlson, they say, was on vacation. I don't blame him if he said, I want to be home with my wife in case they come back. I don't want to leave her alone, so I need some time off. That is totally reasonable. But they called him and asked him about this, about the mob showing up to his house.
What have the last 24 hours been like for you?
Well, it's actually been really nice and affirming. I mean, so for every masked lunatic in front of my house, there have been, 100 people, some of whom I don't agree with politically, calling or sending texts of support and kindness. And it's just a reminder of what a really nice country it is. And if you work in our businesses, you know you can lose sight of that because you see the lunatics. But, you know, most people are not lunatics. Most people are humane and decent and kind, and it's just been a great reminder of that and really a wonderful experience. But what's it like to find out that your wife is hiding in the pantry because people are threatening her? I mean, it's upsetting. And I guess I would say this. I mean, I've characterized the Antifa people and people like them as protesters, but they're not. I mean, they weren't protesting anything. The irony is that, you know, this is the one show that regularly invites people like that on.
I know.
To say what they think. And if you have a point of view that we disagree with, we, you know, I'll debate you, but I still want to hear it because I think people should hear it. And so, but they weren't trying to change my mind or advocate for a position. They were threatening my family to get me to stop talking. And obviously I'm not going to because it's my job to talk and I have the support of Fox News and I'm grateful for that. But then you think of all the people, most people in this country who don't have that lucky combination of circumstances and they really feel like they have to shut up, that they can't say what they think because they'll be punished. I mean, this has a chilling effect on people's ability to speak and to think freely. That's the point. It's totalitarian in its intent, and we should fight it.
Wow. It's so scary. Of all of these stories where you see the people acting violent and they have their faces put out there and are publicly humiliated, this may be the right route for Tucker Carlson to shame these people that are showing up to his house. You know, every time you see these stories of people acting inappropriately and then the pressure is for them to lose their job over it, if you're showing up to someone's house to terrorize their family and you're a threat to someone else's family because you think this is what you do, you deserve to be called out for that. In fact, your actions are pretty despicable. Shame on anyone that shows up to Tucker Carlson and try to intimidate him through physical violence in order to get your point across. Shame on anyone that even thinks about doing something like that. You know, the same goes for the whole Kavanaugh accuser, Christine Blasey Ford. Apparently, her lawyer came out and said they continue to get threats. Cut it out. Knock this out. Just stop it. Seriously. This type of mob mentality stuff's got to stop. It's junk. Absolute junk. Luckily, there's video cameras everywhere anymore. So if you get caught doing something like this, guess what? It only takes a matter of time until you're identified on the internet, and then everyone knows you for the colors that you have shown. And everyone will know you for this. And you know what? You deserve to be called out for it. It's absolute garbage. Look at all these people out there yelling, banging on his door and doing all of this stuff. All right. Coming up, I got, let's see, we got a lot of stuff to get to. I have a story out of San Francisco. The biggest companies now forced to pay a homeless tax, which has a shout out to Jack Dorsey here of the St. Louis native. He's right in the middle of that fight. And also digital footprints. How much do you post of your kids' progress when they're young? You see, we got a 4-year-old. We got to be really careful the things we post about him online. Very careful because you don't want to post the wrong things on there because there's a lot of people that, you know, that are weird, number one. But then what about when they get older and they are humiliated or don't like the things you posted about them? What happens then? There's no taking that back. There's a lot of questions about it. We're going to get to that coming up too. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America, KMOX. I cannot separate this song from that SNL skit with Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley. That may be the best skit SNL has ever aired. Oh, was that so funny? Oh. Do I understand this right, Bob over in Afton? You want to hear more songs like this on a Friday?
Well, I like your song that you got about the Friday.
Yeah, Rebecca
Black.
Every
once in a while, you know, this song. Or maybe Glenn Frey's Party Town.
Oh. Isn't there... There was one song, there was a rock DJ in Detroit I used to listen to. He always played Weekend Warrior by Ted Nugent on Friday. That was his thing. Mm-hmm. That was his Rebecca Black.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a couple of good Friday songs.
Yeah, I mean, yours is good, but, you know, maybe mix them up just a little bit.
Okay. It's good, but it's not Loverboy good?
Well, I think that's the best song Loverboy ever did.
They did Turn Me Loose. That was a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Bob. Maybe we'll throw one in here once in a while. Have a great weekend.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, there we go. Rich calling in from South Bend. Hey, Rich, what's going on?
Well, I'm going to surprise or shock you. I agree with you.
Oh, cool.
I mean, this thing about what Carlson's... I mean, come on, guys. Who is this guy? He's a talking head on TV. Mm-hmm. He gets paid billions of bucks a year. Great gig. But who cares what he says? Hmm. He's not a congressman. He's not a senator. Instead of wasting your time, go to a bar, have a few drinks, and cuss at the TV set.
Oh, wow. Cuss at the TV set. Carlson is a pretty big deal. I mean, he wins his time slot pretty regularly. I mean, he's got 3.5 million people that watch him every night. That's a lot.
Well, yeah, but if he suddenly got fired, is your life going to change? No, so who cares?
Oh, no, yeah, like Bill O'Reilly was much, much larger, and when he got fired, my life didn't change. So, yeah, Tucker Carlson, he could disappear off the network, and, you know, the world keeps spinning. My world keeps going.
And one other thing, about a half hour ago, you used the word closure.
Yeah.
About the, cab driver, they got...
Yeah, that is so ridiculous. I don't understand how these prosecutors can cut these deals. And you know the kid's going to get out early. If it's 10 years, they'll probably be out in 6. But, you know, they took someone's life.
Well, you used the word closure.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as closure.
Mm.
My girlfriend was murdered 16 years ago.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as closure. I want to visit her. I got to go to the cemetery. That's not closure.
Yeah.
The Cardinals did not make the playoffs this year. Well, guess what? April is just around the corner.
Yeah. Rich, did they ever find who did that to your girlfriend?
Yeah, he's doing 60 years in the state pen.
And that doesn't give you any closure at all, knowing the person will probably die in prison?
No. Well, with good behavior, he lost some time. So there was not really anything I could do with it, because when he gets out and I'm still kicking, I'll be like 83 years old.
Oh, I see. You'll hopefully have forgotten his name by then. Maybe it'd be impossible
to do that.
Well,
that was her son, so.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, Rich. Yeah, it's never something you could really forget about or put a closure on.
No, and I wish people would stop using that word.
Why?
Because there's no such animal.
Yeah. What would be the better word?
Yeah. And another thing that drives me crazy is hearing sports casters, when they talk about a team or a player, oh, it's a veteran offensive line. No, it's not. It's an experienced offensive line. The only time the word veteran and a sports thing should ever be used is an alumni game between Army and Navy.
So you don't like the use of that word outside of military service?
No, I don't.
Okay. I see. Well, I guess in a dictionary standpoint, I mean, I guess it would technically be true, but for a respectful standpoint, maybe stay away from that. All right. I see what you're saying. All right, Rich.
All right. That's right.
How about that? We agree on a couple things. Every once in a while, this happens.
The world is going to end in 15 minutes.
It was nice knowing you. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
It was nice to know you. Oh, boy. Well, we keep things a little more flexible here on a Friday morning. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I actually have an interview I'm going to air. Dan Buttafuoco is his name. Consider the Evidence is the name of his book. He's a trial lawyer, and he examines the eyewitness testimony in defense of the reliability of the New Testament. And I've seen a documentary about this, and I saw it maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And when I saw his name pop up, I thought, whoa, I remembered so much about that. It was such a, it's probably still on Netflix. I should look it up and see if it's still streaming on there. But our interview with Dan Buttafuoco coming up, and no, he's not related to the other guy. Should probably just point that out right away, is on the way too. And of course, next hour, we'll do the Tell Me Something Good. Maybe you're into posting a lot of photos about your kids. maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you're putting too much online in jeopardizing your kids' digital identity. We're going to get to that, too. It's a Friday edition of Overnight America, KMOX. Is this a Friday song? If you were to go with Kenny Loggins, you got to do Footloose for a Friday. Not too bad. Joining us now is the author of Consider the Evidence, a trial lawyer examines eyewitness testimony in defense of the reliability of the New Testament. Dan Buttafuoco, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you, Ryan. It's good to be here.
So let's talk about the very start. Why did you decide to examine the Bible this way?
Well, it all stems out of a cocktail party, believe it or not, about 20 years ago, where my brother married into a family of another trial lawyer like myself. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was a gentleman I knew. I'd tried cases against. Corners me in the elevator one day at court and says, "We're going to be family." So it turns out that we're going to his house for sort of an engagement party. And we get there, and I find out for the first time that my colleague is an atheist, and we get into a debate, and the party immediately splits into two. Mm-hmm. And there's my corner and his corner, and we're sort of talking about God and the Bible. And I realized that everyone was really paying attention. So I felt like I made some good points, and I thought he made some good points, and I left the party sort of feeling that, you know what, while I know I'm a really good lawyer, I didn't feel like I was a really good lawyer for the cause. Mm. For the cause of the kingdom right then and there. And I said, you know, I have to start studying up on this because we're supposed to be able to give a defense for what we believe. So that led me on a 20-year journey. And the next thing you know, I've studied under Ravi Zacharias. I got a master's degree in theology. And I decided that I was going to be really interested in apologetics. So I engage in apologetics. And since then, my friend has said to me, "I can't even talk to you anymore." He says, "You demolish all my arguments." And I'm not saved yet, but, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, God changes the heart, but I just try to remove objections to the gospel.
Yeah. And part of that is just opening conversations with people. I think sometimes when you get into it, what you see online is that people will get heated whenever they have arguments. And one of the problems that you have with online conversations is that you can't really understand the tone someone's coming at it. So you could have a conversation with someone, they could misinterpret what you're trying to say or what the tone is, goes in the completely opposite direction. And then whatever you say, as valid as it may be, completely ignored or rejected. So this has got to help being a trial lawyer, being able to talk to people face-to-face, have these sort of conversations in a way that could bring some positive understanding to the way they see it.
Yeah, well, I think that's the key. You know, the goal of apologetics is not to win the argument, it's to win the person. So, you know, when you speak with people, especially if you're a trained lawyer, an advocate, as I am, we know not to take these things seriously in the sense of taking them personally. You know, absolutely, the topic is serious, but, mm-hmm. you know, we don't get in each other's faces, and it's not usually done with hard feelings. Lawyers are used to bantering. It's sort of the way boxers would box in a ring, and then after you see them hug, mm-hmm. like, that may seem weird to people, but that's exactly how lawyers are. Guys that we've, like, killed each other in the courtroom, we go out and, you know, have a beer afterwards and laugh, you know?
Yeah.
So it's sort of, that's the way it is, you know? You learn to deal with the topic and the issue rather than attacking the person.
Yeah. Author Dan Buttafuoco, Consider the Evidence, a trial lawyer examines eyewitness testimony in defense of the reliability of the New Testament. When you say the eyewitness testimony, what do you mean by that?
Well, the Bible is really important as a document, as a source document for the Christian faith, and I think it's often overlooked. But today we emphasize the emotional aspects of the faith, you know, what we feel in church when we have a God encounter, which is all good, valid, it's wonderful, it's supernatural. But we ignore sometimes, you know, the actual informational aspects of the faith. You know, the Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are really important theological subjects, plus the Word of God itself, that reflect in a very rich way on what we believe and why. And why the Bible is important is because it records eyewitness testimony. You know, Judaism and Christianity are the only two faiths in the world that are rooted and grounded in historical fact. Mm-hmm. And when you read the Bible, it reads very much like an eyewitness account. You know, they differ on the details because they were seeing it from different angles. When Luke writes, you know, we were here and then we went there, you know, he's in the narrative. And then when he wasn't there, he says, well, we caught up with them at such and such a city. You know, no other so-called holy book really reads that way. So you get the sense that this is an action-packed adventure that's unfolding even as, you know, you're reading it. And so you sort of brought back to that time period, and it's often overlooked that it's a factual account of factual things that factually happened in history.
Yeah.
So and it's, they say things in the Bible like, we're not followers of cleverly invented fables, but we are eyewitnesses of His Majesty. John writes, that which we've handled, that which we have touched, this we declare to you concerning the word of life. There's so much like that in the Bible that people don't really know is what's happening. When Jesus says on the cross to John, John, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son, talking to Mary. You know, you get the sense that this is really a conversation that's happening while Jesus is being crucified. So the whole New Testament sort of has that ring of truth to it. And if you've seen enough trials, as I have, and if you've read enough action books, you know that that's sort of how these things, you know, really ring true. And you get the sense of adventure that goes along with it.
You know, does it matter what version you use to examine the Bible?
No, I mean, look, the version should be the version that speaks to you. All of the translations say fundamentally the same things. I prefer the NIV because, you know, that's sort of the language I speak, you know, 80s English, 80s college-level English. You know, that's sort of my genre. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I was young, the King James is so poetic, and it's got, like, sort of a Shakespearean quality. But as long as you're getting the communication of what's being said, it really doesn't matter, mm-hmm. as long as it's an accurate translation.
Author Dan Buttafuoco and Consider the Evidence, a trial lawyer, examines eyewitness testimony in defense of the reliability of the New Testament. And when you're going back and researching, did you ever think to yourself, if I can witness one of these own things, one of these own depictions in the Bible with my own eyes, what would you go back to witness?
Oh, man, that's a great question. You know, I went to Israel, I think it was 2010, met some amazing people, walked those steps where Jesus walked. You know, that's as close as I think we can get, you know, most people, in terms of, you know, correlating the physical evidence with the narrative of what happened. But, you know, of course, you think about, what would it be like to be at the crucifixion? What would it be like to be at the Last Supper? You know, mm-hmm. would I have denied Jesus, you know, when yeah. I'm threatened with, you know, maybe some sort of serious torture? You know, these things run through your head. And if they don't, you're not really reading the Bible for all it's worth.
Yeah, no, you're right. I look back at all of the different trips, and you know, people go and they'll go back to the Holy Land and they'll visit the site. So it sounds like you've done that a few times.
Yeah, we have some friends that are really connected over there. It's not a particularly religious group. It's just a sort of a historical, you know, sort of a semi-political private group, and we get to go behind the scenes and see some cool stuff. But, you know, yeah, what I've been there, and I've been toured around by people who then later confessed to me they were secret believers, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was cool. I love it. I think every Christian, if they can, should really try to make that pilgrimage.
You know, there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of people online that like to post articles or videos of, they're always searching for artifacts in that region to find things that may back up parts of the Bible and stories in the Bible. Does that fascinate you?
Yeah, and there's a lot of that, and that's why the book is called Consider the Evidence. You know, in other words, there's so much evidence for the faith, and that's the point that I want to drive home. You know, I'm a lawyer, and as a lawyer, I'm an evidence guy. So if I'm expert at anything, it's evidence and persuading. And there's so much evidence in the Bible to persuade us that it's the Word of God. I just basically just want people to look at it. You know, that's why we came up with that title, Consider the Evidence. It's like nobody's considering the evidence anymore. People get their opinions off of every unimaginable source, MTV, the guy in the cubicle next to them, some special where the people are teaching and they have no idea what they're talking about. And they don't bother to actually look at the hard facts. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make it real for people, give them like a layman's version of, you know, how to read the Bible. Like, this stuff is not new. I'm not taking any credit for it. This has been around for centuries, maybe millennia. But my skill set is to break it down to the average guy or person so that they can read it on the train going to work or whatever.
You know, something that bothers me, because I'm a Christian, and when I see the way Hollywood sometimes depicts the Bible or depicts faith, mainly Christian faith, or any faith really, I feel like they always do a terrible job of that, and I think that by doing a terrible job, they're misrepresenting a lot of what the faith is about, and it seems like they get it wrong all the time, but they do it in such a way, of course, to get people to watch or buy or whatever it may be. Do things like that bother you?
Money.
Yeah. Does that bother you too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when the motive is money, everything becomes messed up. And
yeah.
That's true of even evangelism, televangelism. You know, as soon as your motive shifts into making a buck, it colors everything that you do. Now, years back, I remember when I was a kid, there was some pretty realistic, I think, depictions of biblical stories. I think of the Ten Commandments and maybe King of Kings and some other, you know, movies that were well-made and gave dignity to the Word of God. But, you know, that's sort of, you know, blasé and passé today, and people want to juice it up and interject a twist, some kind of artistic thing that really veers it away from the truth. So basically, back to the evidence. Let's consider the evidence. Let's look at really what happened. Let's not fantasize about the Bible. We have the facts. It's like a trial record. It's like a transcript. We can read it for ourselves and make our own decisions.
You know, people want to find the book or your website. Where can they find you?
It's on Amazon. My name is sort of a famous name, Butterfuco. I'm not related to any more other famous or nefarious Butterfucos, but you remember that name very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And my name is Dan, so Daniel. And if you look it up on Amazon, consider the evidence. You can get it just about anywhere.
Yep, and considertheevidencebook.com is the website. You can get some links from there, too. Hey, Dan, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Oh, it's a pleasure being here. I hope people read this and give it out so people can get saved. That's the point.
Very good. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. That was a nice interview. I like seeing that pop through. We get the emails in at the radio station. Hey, we got some people that are interested in being on your radio station. And a lot of times you'll read the guest names. You'll be like, yeah, I guess I don't, you know, I guess that's cool, but it doesn't really interest me. Sometimes it's really exciting. So you'll say, hey, can we get this person on? And a lot of times we get the person. When I saw this one come through, I was talking to Dan a little bit. You know, he's one of those people a lot of people pass on because they don't like to talk faith a lot on radio stations anymore. And to me, that really interests me. I'm glad he's doing what he's doing. And I enjoyed the conversation there, which you'll be able to check out online in our podcast section. We put them up, all of our interviews, all of our shows, all for free at KMOX.com, which is pretty nice. Oh, you got another Friday song here? What is this one? The Cure, Friday, I'm in Love. Oh, okay. Got another hour of Overnight America coming up, including Tell Me Something Good. If you got something good you would like to share, please share it with us. I would love to hear something good from you. Plus, it's another hour of the show where you can call in and really bring up anything you'd like. We have it flexible on a Friday, flexible Friday, 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. I'm your host, Ryan Recker on KMOX. I don't care about you, it's Friday, I'm in love. Monday, you can fall apart. Tuesday, Wednesday, break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.